Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your word is powerful, Lord. And we've just entered into your presence and encountered you in your glory and in your power, majesty. I thank you, Lord, this is a continuation of worship, really, as we meet together to hear your voice and to hear your instructions towards us in this season. Thank you, Lord, that your word works effectively in those who believe. And I pray for the release of the spirit of faith and revelation over every heart and over every mind. I pray that strongholds will be broken in our minds here today. In Jesus' name, that every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God will be brought low. And that Jesus will be glorified in the way we think and how we believe and therefore walk. For the glory of the one and only Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin the word this morning back to where we began the meeting in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. If we could read that together. Looking unto Jesus, we're going to finish in the next sentence, the author and the finisher or the perfecter of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Aren't you glad that he gives fresh faith? None of us have it all. But faith comes from hearing from his word. And as we hear his word, we're actually looking into Jesus and his word. He is the word of God. So we are feasting on who he is. And actually that completely changes us and changes our experience of the Christian life. And essentially that's what I really have on my heart to bring this morning, is that as we look at Jesus this morning, things are going to change. Your experience of God is going to change. And there is going to be a release, I believe, of God's power in this season because of it. But we have to partner with God in what he is saying, in how we think and what we believe. And this morning, as we look to Jesus, I just want to look at two aspects of who he is. Just briefly, the first aspect, very important, because the only way you can get to know God is this aspect, and that is that Jesus is Savior, a Savior. The Bible presents Jesus when he was born in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For you, to you this day a child is born." We should have it, but it doesn't matter if you don't. "A son is given, and this child is Savior, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." So God sent his son into the world. He became man to save us. And what did we need saving for most of all? To save us from our sins. Jesus ultimately is the only savior from sin. None of us can be right with God by ourselves. If you try, you will fail. There is none that is righteous, the scripture says, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so Jesus came to die as a substitute, to die in our place for our sins on the cross. Actually, as a revelation of God's love for us. The cross is the most extravagant, remarkable demonstration of love humanity will ever know. It is superior to all other loves because God shows his love for us in this, that Christ died for sinners. That is love. And if you believe and accept Jesus died for you, you know God loves you because that's what he was willing to do so that you could be forgiven and become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as Saviour, we are seen to be absolutely helpless in the condition of sin. So you can't do anything, but he does it all for you. Good news. That's good news. He does everything for you, and salvation is a gift. Why don't we say that out loud? A gift. You can't earn salvation or work for it. Salvation is a gift, and Ephesians puts it like this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace. That speaks of God's unmerited favor and blessing. You couldn't earn it. By grace, you've been saved. Through faith, that's your response to the message of what Jesus has done for you. Through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift from God. So nobody can boast and said, look, I saved. I'm saved. It's all God, not of works, lest any man boast. So salvation is a gift, and we all need that part of salvation, of knowing Jesus as Savior. But things change when you progress in your relationship with God. And one of the aspects I want to speak on today is that Jesus isn't just Savior, he's also King. A Savior is somebody who does it all for you, but being King, we get to choose how we respond to him as such. When Jesus came, and actually he was going to the cross, you remember he came in to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. He did that to fulfill a scripture that says, behold your king, he comes riding on a donkey. So Jesus was identified in scripture as king. But after the cross, through his death, he rose again. But he didn't just stay on earth. He ascended and is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And Revelation, the book of Revelation, says that Jesus is now the one we've been worshiping this morning, now, not just Savior. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So he's got the highest place of authority in every sphere. He reigns as King of kings and Lord of... Isn't it good to know that Jesus doesn't just save us, but he is the King of the entire universe over all creation. And when he comes back, he comes as King of kings to judge the living and the dead. So he comes back very different to the way that he first came. Now, through the Father's love, we have been joined into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We are one with him, one spirit with the Lord. So in other words, that's how much God wanted you, that he brought you into Christ and brought Christ into you through faith. And we become new people. We are born again, but we also become children of the King. And the way we relate to Jesus as King affects every area of our Christian experience. Some people never move beyond Jesus as Savior and never see the works and the miracles of God. But when he's King, you start to see things happen in a different way in your experience. And a king actually is a ruler. That's what kings do, they rule. Now, it's not like our king in this country. He actually has no power. He's a king in name, but not in power. You understand? That's King Charles. He doesn't have the power. But when Jesus spoke to the disciples before he went to heaven, he said this: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's what Jesus said. If all authority is his, then the devil has none. Do we believe the word? If all authority is his, then the enemy has none. He has won the keys of death and Hades and hell and triumphed over the enemy through the cross and the resurrection. And now today he has authority. He is the King of Kings, the name above all names. He is the God who is eternal, forever God, but now he reigns in glory. And when Jesus came, he came to bring a kingdom, didn't he? Jesus came preaching the good news, and it's always good news where the king reigns. Yes, yes, yes. It's never bad news. Right. Yes. He came to bring the good news of the kingdom, the reign of God. That's what kingdom means, the reign of Jesus. And he said, repent, change the way you're doing your life and believe the good news. That's what that means. And Jesus, you remember, taught his disciples to pray. What was it? Father, because we are joined in relationship with him now through faith in Jesus. In heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, your reign come. And then what's next? Your will be done. So the kingdom comes wherever his will is done. So the kingdom doesn't come where his will isn't being done. Do you understand that? Yes, you get it? So when Jesus said, pray, the kingdom of heaven come, the will of God be done, actually on earth, the first earth is me and you. God's saying, I want to reign in your life. Kingdom of God, will of God, be done. How do I reign? By you doing my will. He puts his spirit within us and empowers us to do this. And because we're children of God, we're no longer rebellious children. They're called children of the devil. We have a heart that wants to. And a love for him that says, I'm happy you're my king because you're a good king. Yes. He's kind, he's gracious, he's compassionate, but he's still king. Amen. And that changes everything about how you relate to him. Yes. And how I relate to him. And I believe we're coming into a season where it's really important that Jesus is allowed to be your king and my king. Not just in name or talk, but in action. Because wherever he reigns, things happen. His goodness, his kingdom advances. There is a scripture, and it's a strange one, in Ecclesiastes. Some of you may not have read it before. Where the word, can we say that together? Where the word of a king is, there is, oh come on, let's all say that out loud. Where the word of a king is, God, think about that. Now, we're not talking about earthly rules, and Jesus never dominates in this time, this season of grace, until he returns. He'll put all his enemies under his feet. He will rule. It's coming. That's what's coming. But right now, it's all who willingly accept him as king. And where the word of a king is, you see, a king rules by commands. That's how he rules. That's how he issues his reign. And the disciples began to pick up on this when they began to walk with Jesus a bit. And they saw how, when they were in a storm, Jesus, the king, spoke and said, be still. And in the word of a king, there's power. and the storm stopped. When Jesus spoke to distressed, overwhelmed people, overtaken by the enemy, with a word, he commanded demons that were causing the afflictions in people to leave. And with a word, they left. Because there's power in the word of the King. When he spoke to the leper, "Be cleansed," what happened? Power came to make that man well. So it's not just that he is reigning as king. He has given us the scriptures, the word of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God, but his word is the word of a king. It's wonderful when you start to relate to Jesus as your king, that his word rules you. It's so wonderful. You see, in the world, having people over you is like a negative thing. Because you can't trust them. You can't trust people, can you, sometimes? And it's right not to. Some people shouldn't be put in positions of authority. Because you can find out what's happening when you look at the world today, the war. What's happening, the turmoil, dictators that want to reign and rule and dominate. But this king is still king, whether we yield to him as king or not. But actually, we get to miss out if he's not. Because we miss the power, because in the word of a king, there is power. Peter's relationship with Jesus, I don't know, you see, your relationship with Jesus is progression. You go one degree of glory to another as you behold him, as you get to know Jesus and who he really is, and today we're talking about him being king, you'll grow. You won't stay the same. Because you'll grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus. Peter, he began, he invited Jesus back from the synagogue, gave him lunch. Mother-in-law got healed. Jesus just went in and rebuked the fever. And guess what? The mother-in-law got up and served, right? So there she was. He even heals mother-in-laws. In joke, sorry. He loves to heal everyone. But then Peter's out fishing all night. Jesus wants to borrow his boat. He's tired with his partners. They caught nothing. And Jesus says, "Can I use your boat?" So he gets in the boat, starts to teach the multitudes. The word of the king is being released. And then Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Launch out into the deep for a catch." Jesus said to Simon Peter, you see, if... how you approach what he is saying affects your experience. Because you can either hear God today and say, "That was a good message," or you can say, "I've heard the word of the king. He said something to me, and it's going to change my life." Your perception of Jesus, looking to Jesus, changes everything. So Jesus says to Peter, and he's wanting to encourage Peter. That's what he'll do with you. "I want you to go further with me. Come on. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a purpose. And it goes way beyond your business. It comes into my kingdom. I'm here to see my kingdom come. Way beyond the things of this world." Not that he doesn't understand you need things. But he says, "Seek first my kingdom, my reign. All things will be added." So Peter, he says, "Launch out into the deep for a catch." Now, that word has power. But only when Peter does it. Recognizing that Jesus is king. In other words, he had to launch out. The fish weren't coming into the boat. He had to go. because he recognized, hang on a minute, now who am I dealing with here? He's a healer. He's a miracle worker. Can this be that he rules the prosperity of his servant? Is he over all things? He said, well, we fished all night. Actually, we're really tired. And it's not the time to fish. And I recognize that though you're not actually a fisherman and you have no experience, that I think that I know you don't have experience in this area of life. I thought it was just Sundays. I didn't think it went midweek. I was allocating you to the synagogue and a few miracles, but I didn't realize you wanted to take over my business. All right, okay. And he says, launch out into the deep. Right, okay, so at your word then. At your word, because the king's speaking. And Peter launched out. He got such a catch that his partners had to join him, because whatever God says happens. All things obey the word, even the economic state of the world. Do we have any believers in the house? Even all things have to obey the word. But Peter had to act on the word, which is really what faith is, not just hearing, doing. Act on the word, and he saw the fruit of it.
Yes, yes.
And do you know, Peter came back. He didn't go, brilliant, will you be my partner? He went, who are you? Who are you? Who are you, Lord? It was a completely different insight into Jesus. You didn't just save me or provide for me. Who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, don't fear. From now on, you'll catch men. I've got a plan for you. It's wonderful. In the word of the king, there is power. You remember when Jesus was walking on water? And again, they're in a boat. Bless them. I'm not into boats that much. But there they are on the Sea of Galilee. Going against, the wind was contrary, it's the middle of the night, and they see Jesus, they weren't sure it was him, walking on the water. You can read it in Matthew chapter 14, just so we get the words of Jesus coming out as he spoke them. And they got afraid. Now Jesus, as king, is in dominion over natural law. Do we have anybody recognize what's going on here? Jesus isn't saying, I'm under the circumstances. He's not saying, oh, I have to just always walk as everybody else does. He's actually, in this moment, I'm going to show you I'm king of the ocean. This is our God. It should make you so excited to be a follower that this is the God you follow. So there he is, walking on water. And Jesus says, be of good cheer, because they needed a little encouragement at that point. Yes. They were seeing something they'd never seen before. Isn't it time? Yes. Don't be boring, have a king.
Right.
Just don't be boring, get a king. And his name's Jesus. That's the king you need. That's the king we need as the church. He says, be of good cheer, it's I, don't be afraid. And what happens next? Peter answered him. Okay. Peter's seeing Jesus walking on the water. And he says, if it's you, there's this word here, command. He's getting something. He's understanding that Jesus is more than buddy-buddy. He's God. He's king. Things are about to change for Peter. Command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus actually says, one word, come. And when Peter got down out of the boat, he walked on the water. There's power in the word of a king. You see, we can walk as Jesus did. I'm preaching faith this morning, and I'd love an amen or two. Because Jesus said, he who believes in me will do the same works as I do and greater still. I'm a believer of the word of the king. I believe the word of the king over my experience, over what I haven't seen yet. I believe his word is true. That's that. I've settled it. He's my king. I will be loyal to him and his word. That's it. I have a loyalty to my king. He died for me. That's how much he loves me. But he is my king. And Peter started to walk like Jesus. Because you will when you start to act on the word of the king. But then he showed himself as savior in the same story. Because Peter started to look at the wind and the waves, okay? This is how we know that Jesus isn't an uncompassionate, discompassionate, I don't know what the right word is, king, that actually says, I don't care, you should be in faith. Peter was afraid because he's changed his view off Jesus and his word and onto the wind and the waves. And Jesus didn't say, well, drown then. I'm king, you go ahead and drown. He's also savior in that moment. So you can see he's the king wanting his people to walk the way he did, supernaturally, and seeing things we've never seen before. But he's also savior when we get into a little bit of that doubt that we could do without. We could do without doubting. And we doubt when we look at the conditions around me. And I'm speaking from experience. When I look at my feelings, when I look at my circumstances, it's so easy to be overwhelmed by what I'm seeing and feeling. But the Bible says that we walk, how? By faith, not by sight. And you might be in this moment where you've got a choice to look at what you're in or to look to Jesus and what he says. Because this shouldn't govern people of faith. Jesus wants to govern us and bring us to peace. Settle things because we're seeing him and walking according to what he says. Are you hearing the Lord? Are you in a circumstance at the moment? And I know some of you are in immense challenges. Challenges that really are storms. They're not made up storms. They're things that actually would sink ordinary people. Yes. But we have Jesus. Yes. He's already overcome everything for us. So when he said he died and rose again, he won the victory over every problem you and I will ever face. He's already won the victory. He's our conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Which is why looking to Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith is so important when you are in the trial and in a difficult moment. I'm going to finish with this, and then we're going to come back to Jesus in truth. Joshua. My glasses are misting up. It's because I'm getting warm with preaching. But my heart is warmed because Jesus is here. And he's the king. Well, over everything you're facing, he's king. And his word in the word of our King, there is more power than we could ever know. And there are secrets in Scripture that teach us how to walk, whether for us ourselves or whether to see other people come into the reign of the King, which is only good, where sickness and disease leave, where people know how to do life well, where marriages work and finances work and things work, where there is the reign of the King and His word. All things coming under our King. Joshua chapter 5. We're going to look at these few verses and then we'll finish. Because actually you see here the real problems they were facing, but how God brought him to a place where he was ready for a great victory. I'm ready for that, are you? I'm ready to see great victories. I believe we're coming into, God is wanting to lead us into things that we've never won before. Joshua and the people of God are in the land already, like us, we're in Christ. Everything is ours. He'd been told that since he was young. Moses said, God's giving you this land flowing. And there he is, standing opposite Jericho. And when Joshua was by Jericho, and can I just hold it there and just say, he was doing an assessment of the challenge. I need to hold right there. What was he looking at? He was looking at the problem. Can I just hold you here just for a moment? Because looking at the problem, he's trying to reason how it's going to work out. With a child, you look at a problem, how's this going to work? With my business, with my work, with what God has called me to do, how's this going to work? And what I love about this is he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him, and I love this because he doesn't really know what he's seeing, because he's never seen God like this. May God bring us into new visions of Jesus. He's never seen God like this. Here he is as a man with a sword drawn. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or are you for them? How many Christians get into those arguments? Which church do you belong to? Oh, well, it's this one. Well, we're not like them because we believe this. And you know God's not on anybody's side except his own. Amen. You realize that, don't you? There is only one side, and there is only one word of a King. It's his church that he bought with his blood, that he rose again for. We are the people of God. And so we're not kind of going for sides. I counsel you today to deck yourself on his side. Throw yourself down under Jesus. Here we go. The Lord speaks back, because it is the Lord. The next verse, please. And he said, no, but as not the suggester of the army. A king doesn't suggest. He commands. Now, he's a good king. Please, can I say he's the king of love? But he's still king. It's really important. You won't do well as a Christian and fulfill your destiny without Jesus being your king. That's it. And enjoy the blessings that he has made available. As the commander of the army of the Lord, I've now come. Joshua's response wasn't because God forced him to fall. Please. Never in the church should we have force. God doesn't force you to submit. You'd be a fool if you don't. Especially in the light of eternity, really important that we understand who he is, but he doesn't do it by pushing us down. This is a voluntary response to who Jesus really is. And I love it, he's seen as the commander of the army of the Lord. He's seen as this victorious warrior. He has already won the victory. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. And Joshua being, he's like me really. Whenever I get a revelation of Jesus, I always want to know what he's saying straight away. As soon as I'm at his feet, I'm saying, what are you saying, Lord? What are you saying? I spend my life here. What are you saying? You're my boss. You're my commander. You're my king. What is it you're saying? And I love it. The Lord puts a bit of a delay on what he's saying. And he says, take off your sandals. He wants this kind of set apart moment to go on a bit longer than Joshua really wanted. In other words, stay here, be holy as I am holy. Set your life under me. Now this for me speaks so much of having a new vision of Jesus. You see, we are faced with immense problems in our world. They're like Jerichos. We are looking at things in our society. How on earth are we going to win this? And if you're not looking at that properly in society, you're not seeing anything. We're not a people who bury our head in the sand. There are issues. And we have real problems as we walk with Jesus. Everybody does. Jesus had trouble in this world, but he overcame it, and he overcame it for us. But we need an interruption of view. Yes. Instead of seeing Jericho, we need to see Jesus. Because all he could see from that moment on was that Jesus has come to command. And then from that kind of viewpoint, a heavenly view, he was given faith to see as God sees. God said to him, see, I've given you Jericho. And then he was given a strategy on how to win it. But it all began with this surrender. He got to a place before Jesus as king. And God says, right, now you're on my side and aligned to me. I can bring my word of victory into your heart, and you can start to see victories over the enemy and my promises fulfilled for you. Jesus, he is Savior and King. Can we stand? Can we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Have you heard the word? I believe it's really important for this next season as the Church of Jesus, not just here, but all over our nation. God's moving, doing things. People are getting saved. There is this coming to the Lord in a fresh way. But God is looking at us, individuals, and he wants to interrupt our vision. He wants to for our own sake. He wants us to win battles because he loves us. Things that we've looked at and thought, well, I'll never win that. Jesus has already won the victory for you. But it's always this understanding of Jesus not just saving me from being in a ditch or a problem. He does that and he does it brilliantly. He saves me when I doubt. He's so good, he pulls me out of the water. But he does want us to walk on water and see the things that he has for us come to pass. And I suppose if there's one thing the Lord wants to speak over you today, will you accept me as your king? In a fresh way. Will you not just fight your own battles, but bring me as king over your heart and life? And will you take my word as the word of a king, the king, that has power to bless, change, and bring my kingdom on earth? Lord, today we recognize you as your people, as the wonderful Savior you are, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. But we also, Lord, want to see you afresh. Take over our vision that you are greater than any problem that we face. And you've already won it for us. Thanks be to God who leads us in triumph. Lord, we need you as leader, as king, because you lead us in triumph. The things that you have for us that the enemy has tightly shut up, I thank you you're going to lead us into victorious battle. And we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But we will also not love our lives even to the death. We will be loyal to you, our King, and to your word as King. And today, Lord, in the conditions that we face in our world, we just want to thank you that you are King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And that you're leading an army of overcomers, those who will walk as Jesus walked, in humility, but also in authority, that we will see the same things that you said we would see in this day and in this generation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder if you could just surrender all your problems and just come back to looking to Jesus. Just see everything, and including yourself, at his feet.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.